You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, birds, and welcome to the latest edition of the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, and Everton Levy joining us as the third chair this week. We've had a mixture of rotating chairs over the last couple weeks, and we'll have Julian and Joey. We'll all be back next week. But Everton, thank you so much for joining the show and being part of this hour.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We have a loaded episode today, something that we've kind of been, me and Joey have been talking about for the last 2 weeks, have been super excited about. Just Redbird basketball all over the place because they officially kind of start their season this weekend at CFQ Arena Saturday. Lewis is coming to town to take on the Redbirds, and man, I think we're all just super excited for basketball season, and once you guys kind of chime in, we'll give a little updates on what we got in the show.
Yeah, I really just can't preach it enough how excited I am for this Illinois State men's basketball team. It's just, they were really good in the 90s. It's kind of been underwhelming since then, but as I've said previously, there's just something in the Bloomington Normal air when it comes to this team, like something we haven't really felt in a long time. There's a different energy out here. It's a lot more of an exciting team, and I just can't preach enough how excited I am to watch this team finally play some basketball.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I love basketball in general, so of course basketball will always hit different, but you know, the women's team has been really good the past 3 years, and I'm glad to see the men's team got some good expectations going into the season, and I'm just excited for both teams.
So with that being said, Illinois State basketball, it is a full show jam-packed with Illinois State basketball content. First of all, Joey, in this half of the hour, we're going to be talking, to Ryan Peden, the head coach of the Illinois State Redbirds. And joining us at around 6:15, point guard of the Redbirds, Malachi Poindexter, will be showing up and having a live interview in studio with us, just stuff that we're super excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. And excuse me. It was great talking to Coach Peden earlier. He had an eventful day. They had like a luncheon with like a lot of like donors and other people. So that was very exciting to watch as well. And just being able to talk to him about the expectations for this upcoming season, how these new transfers and all the old guys, how they've meshed together, what he expects, talking about how wide open the Valley can be this year. It's just Coach Peden's excited. And man, I'm letting you guys know, when you have a one-on-one conversation with Coach Peden, with how excited he is, it just, you gotta match the excitement as well. Like, he loves this team and I love it as well. It's just gonna be so fun to watch this season.
That being said, let's hear from Coach Ryan Peden of the Illinois State Redbirds.
So first off, Coach Peden, thank you so much for your time again. I greatly appreciate it. It's been a busy day for us. So my first question is, heading into the season, you got a mix of older players and new players. How have they been clicking together this offseason? Has it been a smooth or rough transition?
Well, it's been great. I think it's been as good of a transition as can be expected. You know, there's a lot that goes into that because you've got you know, we have four transfers, we have two freshmen coming in, and then we've got seven guys that are returners. So there's a lot coming together, you know, at once. And I give our players great credit. You know, part of building a close-knit team and you know, a trusting environment is it requires intentional behaviors. Mm. And intentionally connecting with your teammates and getting outside yourself and being vulnerable. And our guys, I think, have done a really good job of that. And, you know, we have a mature group, and I think that certainly helps.
And I want to talk about those new guys as well, the new transfers and freshmen. Yeah. With all the practice that's been having this offseason, has there been a certain face that's impressed you the most, or has everybody just been doing their job?
Well, I think everybody's been doing their job. There's a lot to learn when you have a new team every year, a lot to learn in terms of what it's going to look like when you get together, and then, you know, establishing roles within your program and within your system, and getting guys to buy into those roles and take real pride in those roles. And I think you know, that's going to be a work in progress, but I feel very good in terms of heading into the season, like guys understanding their roles, taking pride in it, and, you know, being willing to play the right way.
Yeah. I've seen you just so excited when you talk about the shooting this team's going to have. It looks like you, like, on Christmas. So I need to know, what is the style of play we're going to see from the team this year? Like, what will be different from last year, and then what's also going to be the same from last year with this
Great
team?
Great question. So, first of all, I think stylistically, we'll look a little different because we're going to be able to space the floor out, I think, with probably four, you know, versatile perimeter players, guys that can dribble, pass, and shoot. guys that can play multiple positions. I think our versatility is greater, and I think our skill is better around the board. I think with that being said, I think stylistically, how will that play out? I think we'll be able to play faster. Mm-hmm. I think we'll shoot more threes. I'm excited. I'm just excited to see kind of how it develops. But I feel heading into this year like we have a very identifiable DNA, probably more so on this date than we have in either of my first 2 years.
So one of the more bigger problems for the team last year was moving the ball when it came to assists. It was bottom half in the MVC. Yeah. So I'm wondering with this team, is it going to be more like there's going to be certain guys that are kind of dictating the pace of the offense, or is it going to be kind of everybody's job to share the rock?
Well, I think everybody's sharing the rock. And, you know, there were times, I think, where you could say, you know, yeah, do we need to move the ball more? Yes. But I think the bigger problem was the assist numbers weren't where we wanted them because we weren't knocking down shots. Mm-hmm. And I studied that a lot in the off season. Studied that through video. I studied that through stats and just understanding, having an understanding of why our struggles were what they were. I come back to we got good shots. Very rarely did I have a big problem with our shot selection, especially from three, just executing it and making the shot. I think that's like anything. At times, unfortunately, that can become contagious. Mm-hmm. And I think knocking down shots, I think, is a big part of it. But, you know, Dalton Banks had 118 assists on the year, over 100 assists. And I told him, I said, hey, if we were shooting like I want to be shooting, you'd add over 200 assists. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a real confidence about what we're doing this year, and I'm excited to see how that plays out.
And then when we first talked to them after the first practice, we talked about the loss of Miles Foster in the big man department, and you talked about how everyone has impressed you so far this offseason. I'm wondering at this point, heading to our first exhibition, is there a certain guy you trust more to be the starter compared to another person on the team?
Well, I think our big spot is going to be a mixture of three guys, you know, Chase Walker, Brandon Leave, and Caden Bozer. And all three of those guys, it excites me because all three are very distinctly different from one another. Mm-hmm. And all of them have a lot to prove. All three of them have a real chip on their shoulder. And all three allow us to play a different way, too. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll see that in the way that we play and then also in the way that we utilize those three guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another thing is the Valley all around has kind of lost a little bit of talent, so it's kind of anybody's mix right now. Where do you see you guys amongst everybody else in the Valley?
Well, you know, we'll see how that plays out. We determine that. And, the Valley lost 83 players last year, 46% of all players in the league. That's third most of any conference in the country. So there's clearly a lot of turnover. Some of that was due to coaching changes. Two guys got jobs and left the league. Three coaches got let go. So those are five virtually complete roster overhauls. And, I think there's a real, I think anybody would say this, there's a real opening, you know, there's an opening for a team or a couple teams, you know, that can bust through there and get into that upper tier, that top four tier. And that excites me. I know we got our eyes on that, and we want to be a program that competes for championships or has the ability to compete for championships every year. And, heading into this year, I'm really excited about, the guys we have in that locker room.
Championships leads to my final question. Since you got here, you've always talked about wanting to build like a championship program. That's always been the goal. And it's been a little bit of ups and downs. You said a little bit earlier you guys take a step forward and then two steps backwards. But now arguably you have your most talented roster since you've been here at Illinois State. What's the motto you guys are heading with into the season? What are you preaching to your guys, and what's your motto individually?
You know, we're very process driven, so we're focused on the day-to-day, right? Executing the culture that's in place. And that requires very intentional effort every day. We say we win with people, and we have the people. We demand that our players are all in, right? That you're all in or you're against us. And I've got a group of guys in there that are all in. I'm very excited about that. So it's at the point right now where we need to go out and do it. I'm not up for doing a whole lot of talking right now. I we got to be more about action. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I love the guys we got, and excited to see, you know, see where this goes. Excited to start the season, start the journey with them.
Thank you so much to Coach Ryan Peden for sitting down with Joey and getting that interview for us. When we come back on the Red Zone, we'll have Malachi Poindexter live in the studio. Stay right here on the Red Zone. WCND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, Everton Levy, joined by a very, very special guest, Malachi Poindexter of the Illinois State Redbirds basketball team. Malachi, how are you feeling today?
Feeling good today. Feeling good.
Great to have you on. We're super excited for the season. And honestly, just to start off, how are you feeling going into the season, not just about yourself, but really just the team in general?
Feeling great going into the season. You know, we had a good practice this morning and a good practice throughout the fall with a I think we've practiced maybe 20 times so far, and the team's looking pretty good.
Got some Joe.
Oh, yeah. So I just want to ask a big question. I'm going to ask I don't like, you know, creating, like, narratives or, like, storylines or nothing, but yeah. I talked to Coach Peden, and he talked about how, like, 83 players transferred away, which is 46% of the league. Wow. That includes Drake and Indiana State. They met in the championship. They lost pretty much anybody. So it kind of feels like the Missouri Valley Conference is kind of, like, wide open to anyone. So, like, yeah. How do you feel this team currently would rank amongst the rest of the MVC?
Honestly, I feel like we have a really good chance this year to finish top four. I know that preseason poll says that we're going to finish four, but I feel like we're around the 1-2 area. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be competing pretty well with Bradley. I've had some really close games with them, so we really have to get it done against them, especially on our home floor this year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like we'll end up finishing pretty well in our conference this year.
Yeah, kind of bouncing off a lot of new faces being added. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, you guys have brought in some new faces this offseason.
Yep.
How's it been integrating them into the team?
It's been really good. You know, we got Bowden Scumberg, a transfer from North Dakota State. He's always been a good player. I think he averaged 14 points per game. He's a 1,000-point scorer. He came from a winning program, so he knows what it takes to actually win on the Division I level. And then we have some great freshmen. Let's talk about Landon Wolf here. He actually came from UNI. I don't really like UNI that much either, but he came from UNI. He has a really good shot. He is gritty, plays really good defense. So I think there's a role for both of those guys. And then we also have the freshmen who are really trying to learn, Jack and Cade. And they're really going to bring something to the table for us as well.
I was at a night with the Redbirds. So yeah. When we were there, I heard a lot about how mm-hmm. the team, you know, Johnny's grown a couple inches. Chase has been put in, or he cut weight. Did you have any personal goals like that this off season? And even if you want to maybe talk more about like Johnny and Brandon and Chase, kind of like what their goals were this off season as well.
First off, starting off with Chase, that was insane. He probably started around 310, 320 pounds, something like that. And I think now he's around 270, 265, that area. So to see that change was, first off, it was a lot of commitment by him. And then we have Brandon, who I believe he came in around 220, maybe 210, somewhere around that area, and he got up to 250, which was his goal. When I came in, I was a little bit on the heavy side, but it wasn't anything extremely daunting. Yeah. But then my biggest thing was my body fat percentage. So I was only 190 pounds, but I was a little chubby. So then they got my body fat percentage below 10%, and I'm feeling more agile. I can jump higher. Yeah. I just feel more fluid within my game. So I think if we talk to our nutritionist and our strength and conditioning coach, which is Coach Swinson, strength and conditioning coach, and then Sarah, our nutritionist, they really help us out tremendously, and they really help me get to my goals as well.
Has that kind of helped you like add any new skills or anything specific that you've been working on in your game this offseason?
Yeah, I think for sure. Like, I like to do some more fend-offs. So now instead of having that fat on me, I have a little bit more muscle. So I feel like I can move players a little bit easier and get to my spot. And then also it definitely helps me with, like, my agility. So I feel like I can play a little bit better defense and sprint the floor, which is something we're really, like, emphasizing this year.
Sure. Yeah, Coach Peden, I talked to him about it earlier, and, like, I've never seen him more happy in my life. They're talking about, like, how much faster this team is going to play and how much better this team is shooting the three ball. So what's the style of play we can expect from this team this year, and how are you going to fit into that system?
Yeah, so we're going to be playing a lot faster, like you just said. So we're going to be trying to score within the first 7 seconds of the shot clock. But with that being said, we're also going to be smart. We're not going to turn off the we're not going to turn over the ball, and we're not going to take horrible shots. So our shot selection is still going to be really good. But with that being said, we're going to have more flow offenses that is more quick paced, so to say. And I believe that fits my game a lot because I like turning it up a little bit and I like getting off of screens, moving around well, and just playing like faster pace. So that allowed me to get some more shots and transition off the move, which I think is one of my strengths.
Yeah, that's something you talk about there is being smart with the ball, even though like it's hard to implement with that faster pace. But with last year's team with Illinois State, it was in the bottom half of the NBC when it came to getting total assists. So with you guys having new players, who's kind of going to be the lead guy in distributing the ball? What can we expect to see on that side?
Yeah, I think we'll have Dalton Banks and Johnny. They'll both play in the point guard position. They're both going to pass the ball really well. Yeah, we didn't have as many assists last year, but if we take a look from my first year here, so 2 years ago versus last year, our turnover rate went down so much more. So now since we're becoming more secure with the ball, I believe now after this past season, I believe we'll be able to dish out more assists to build on that.
For you personally, what would you say, like what things did you do this offseason to prepare yourself mentally and physically for this upcoming season?
Yeah, honestly, for me, I really got into the word a lot. You know, Coach Slay, he really helped me strengthen my faith in Christ. And then also for physically, it was really my diet. This was not my very first time, but it was one of the first times where I really took nutrition like extremely seriously. And, you know, it was something simple as MyFitnessPal. I was on a 111-day streak of logging all of my food and making sure that I was taking care of my body, because this is my tool for the game that I play. So if I don't take care of my body, then I can't really be a good basketball player.
Yeah, was there a cheat meal you had to cut out?
You know, I try to give myself a cheat meal once a week. But once we started picking up practices and things, then I can start getting a little more because I'm burning a lot more calories.
Yeah, not to sidetrack, but like I'm currently in a bulk right now, so I'm kind of curious. Right. Like, what is your cheat meal?
So I don't have a specific cheat meal. It's just whatever I'm feeling at the time. So if I feel like I want some Chips Ahoy, I'll go ahead and get some Chips Ahoy. Like Oreos, I'll go ahead and get some Oreos. I wouldn't even say it's a whole meal that I'm cheating with. It's more like snacks most of the time. And those are the top two.
Okay. And then I had a question about you, Johnny, and Banks. You kind of, if we look at off like stats from like last year, you kind of are like the main vocal points that are being returned. However, you guys kind of all play the same position. So like when you guys are all on the court at the same time, how do your guys' skill sets like complement each other?
Yeah, so I think all of us, we do have different skill sets. And Dalton, he's a really good driver. He's extremely quick, athletic, getting down the hill, which really contracts the defense. And then that'll leave me on the perimeter, so you're going to have to pick your poison. You're neither going to let him get a layup or a dunk, or you're going to let him spray it out to me for a three. And then same thing with Johnny. He's also dynamic, so he can score with the ball in his hands and off. And then same thing with me, I believe. I'm dynamic as well, and I can come off ball screens, come off ball screens, or just spot up and shoot the three and run, catch, and shoot in transition.
This is going to be your third season here.
Yep.
You know, you've been here since the beginning of Coach Peden's era. For you, how has it been trying to be like a vocal leader for the young players, not only trying to, you know, give them tips to improve their game, but also get them ready for Missouri Valley Conference play?
Yeah, it's actually extremely interesting because I was at the luncheon earlier today, and something that really stuck out to me is when one of our freshmen, he came up to me in the locker room, and it was like one of the first days he was on campus, and he was just like, "What's up, Unc?" And I'm just like, "Man, like that's crazy. Am I really that old?" Yeah. So then it like really set in right there, and I was like, "Okay, I kind of have to be a leader. If like this guy's looking up to me as that kind of figure, then I really have to set the tone for like the whole team." So it's been something that Coach Peden has always wanted me to do since I've been here, because my first year I did play point guard.
Right.
I didn't play off the ball. So in that role, you have to be very vocal. You have to take that leadership role. And then my second year, I got more into it. And then now starting in the spring, the fall, and now going into the season, it's definitely picking up a lot. And hopefully I can keep improving my leadership skills.
Out of those young players, are there any specific, through practices and everything that you've seen, anyone that we should be looking out for that's going to make a huge impact this year?
I think that's something extremely interesting because we have some really good players. Like we're extremely deep this year. Yeah. So I'm a little interested to see how that goes. But, you know, Jack Doherty, he can shoot it extremely well. And then we have Cade Norris, who I think is going to be a phenomenal, like, floor general. So if they ever get their chance or opportunity, I think they'll take advantage of it.
Yeah, so very interesting, like, out-of-conference schedule, but that includes you guys going to the U.S. Virgin Islands. Are you guys excited for that?
Oh, of course. I'm definitely excited to be going there.
Yeah, with big competition as well as McNeese, they had a great year last year as well, and then you see teams maybe like UAB, Kansas State, who just got Coleman, Hawkins. So yep. Do you guys think you're ready to play against maybe that Power 5 competition compared to just Missouri Valley as well?
Yeah, I think we're definitely ready. This is my first year where I felt extremely confident going against any opponent. I mean, I always felt some sort of confidence, but this year is just a different level to it. Because we have a bunch of guys who are attacking the game the same exact way. So if you look at the way I'm attacking the game, it's the same way that Landon Wolf, the way that Johnny, the way that Chase and Brandon Lee, like the whole team is attacking it the same way. So we all have the same shared goal and we're all pulling from the same rope. So I believe we can play against anybody.
Yeah, so I want to ask, like, what's your guys' like motto heading into the season? Because just me personally, I feel like there's kind of a different energy in the air when it comes to this team. Like, there's a lot more excitement. So, like, what's like the motto going on for you? Then, like, what's like the motto in the locker room? What's your guys' like tagline for this season?
Our tagline is always to be the toughest, the nastiest, and the most in shape team in the valley. So if we can really dive into those three things and really take it by the horns and take control of that, then I believe we'll be in a pretty good position.
Speaking of your schedule, what would you say are the games that you have kind of like circled, like upcoming?
All right, so I've already circled Bradley. Got to circle Bradley because my first year here, we're playing at Bradley. I believe it's a tied game. They go to shoot a three at the end of the game, and one of my teammates, I'm not going to name him, but he fouled a three-point shooter. And I was in the huddle before. I was like, listen, what we're going to do is not foul a three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it happened. And then last year, we're also at Bradley again, and Coach Peden draws up a play at the end of the game for me to hit the game-winning three, and I miss. So those are like some two really hard experiences that I've had playing against them, so I really got to get a dub against them.
Yeah, is there a message you want to send to Bradley right now for all the listeners?
No, I'm going to just let the game take care of itself.
Good answer.
There we
good
go. Answer.
He's media trained. Let's talk about Coach Peden. This community loves him. He's obviously just had such an impact on this community since he got here. What has he done for not just you as a player, but really just everyone in that locker room, not only to make you guys great basketball player, but it even seems like he has an emphasis on making you guys even greater men going forward in the future.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So Coach Peden, he's done a lot of things for this program and a lot of things for each of the individuals. If I had something that I was going through off the court, he's a person that I could actually go to and ask for advice, and he would give me pretty good advice. And he also, he'll tell you straightforward, like, what it is. So if you're not playing well, he'll pull you into his office and say that you're probably not going to play, or he'll tell you exactly what it is. So you don't have to really, there's no beating around the bush. So there's no guessing of like, what is Coach Peden going to be doing today?
Sure.
Or like, I'm pretty sure, he's very consistent. He brings the same attitude every day. So I know what I'm getting from Coach Peden, and then vice versa, he knows what he's getting from me.
Yeah, so I want to talk about Coach Peden and some of his, like, hype-ups to, like, get you guys locked in. I talked to Kendall Lewis last year,
right,
and I asked, like, what was, like, the craziest story you went through with Coach Peden throughout the year? And he told me one of the games that he put dog food and dog treats in your guys' locker room to help you guys lock in. Is this a true story? Can you kind of break down what happened for us, like, what game it was and why he did all that?
Yeah, so Coach Peden does a couple of things before games to try to get us motivated. Yes, that is a true story. He said he really wanted us to be some dogs, so then he put them in the locker room, and it wasn't just like a couple of dog bones. Like, I would go into my locker, there's like 15 in mine, and then there's 12 on the floor, and there's 15 in everybody else's locker, and they're coming in different size. One bone is about like the size of my forearm. I'm just like, wow, like, this is interesting. So anyways, we're like, okay, we're going to attack this like dogs. And we actually took a couple bones, started chewing them a little bit. So we were like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And then another time he was like, got to bleep it out, but we're going to be some bad people. So then anyways, he just gave us some shades, and then we put them on after the game, kind of like Shedeur Sanders kind of deal. So like, so yeah, he definitely does a couple of things like that, but it kind of gives you a little of comedy while also being serious at the same time.
We usually do this with every one of our guests. Obviously, we just hit you with the hard-hitting basketball, journalism questions, whatever it might be, but we love to do the fun questions as well. So.
Yeah.
This is the first one I want to ask. When you're on a road trip, who is your go-to on the team partner to, you know, tag along with on that trip?
It's always going to be Brandon Leap. He's also my roommate. I think he's pretty similar to me, just a super funny guy. And we can just find little tiny things that are extremely funny.
Yeah.
Like, for one example, not a lot of people notice, but we always notice when Coach Peden is eating his cough drops. And he eats them like they're just candy. But he enjoys them, and we just think it's funny. So
yeah.
I think I'd have to say Brandon Lee. We pick up on a lot of tiny things.
Yeah, and then, like, who on your team is, like, most addicted to their phone? Like, who's glued to it?
Mm. Honestly, I think all of us have, I mean, that's just everybody nowadays. Everybody is really just on their phones. I'm on my phone a decent amount. But honestly, we'll go into the locker room. We'll have like pretty much everybody on the phone just for a second until someone breaks the ice, and then everyone's phone goes away, and then we're just everybody's laughing.
Okay, quick question.
Yes, sir.
Who is the best on aux?
Best on aux,
and who's the worst? I'd love to hear actually, this as well.
Both.
And the worst. Okay, I'm gonna start off with the worst. I'm gonna go ahead with Nick Feather. We had this interesting thing in practice a couple weeks ago. Coach Peden's like, "Hey Nick, I want you to pick a song to play right now in the middle of practice, just for jokes." And he really didn't go with his true self, so he said Rod Wave. Everyone thought it was funny, but we know Nick Feather's not listening to Rod Wave on a day-to-day basis. And then the other person who was on aux the most, so they probably have to get the best aux, is probably Bowden Scumberg. He's always on it. He got some music for a bunch of different moods. You want to be funny, he has some music for that. You want to be happy, he has some music for that. So I think Bowden would take that prize.
That's awesome. Malachi, I wish we could sit here and talk to you all day, but you obviously got to go get prepared for a season. And you've had a busy day, too, you were telling us before. So once again, Malachi, thank you so much for joining the show.
Appreciate it.
Illinois State basketball kicks off with exhibition this week against Lewis on Saturday. But on November 4th, they have their home opener against UT Martin. Malachi, once again, thank you so much for joining the
Red Zone. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk about some NBA basketball. Stick it here on the Red Zone. 103.3 WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, Everton Levy. Once again, thank you so much to Malachi Poindexter for coming on the show. What a great interview, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I just love the energy with the team. I like the mix up of, you know, being serious but a little fun as well, because like, that's really what the sport's got to be. Like, it's kind of hard just lock in 24/7. You got to have some fun moments as well, and Malachi was able to provide that inside for us.
Yeah, getting to learn who's the best and worst on aux and all those things. Those are the important questions, guys.
If you want to listen back to that interview, you could always go to WZND.com under the podcast tab under the Red Zone. And once again, if you want to text us, all right, we have a text line. It's 309-503-1033. Once again, that is 309-503-1033. Also, while you're at it, go on over to Instagram and look at our story tab at WZND. We have our pick six game of the week. So we will be doing pick six at the bottom of the hour. But first, we're going to talk some NBA basketball.
Finally.
NBA officially tipped off on Tuesday night. Had some good games, kind of. Were they blowouts? The Lakers like one was a little
The
bit
Lakers
blowout.
Timberwolves was close.
That one was close.
The Celtics are Celtics.
Yeah.
We can start with that. The Celtics are still very good, and they are by far away the best team in the National Basketball Association.
Joe Mazzulla is just a madman for that system he has implemented in Boston. They don't even have like a center anymore. It's just everyone is outside the 3-point line. Like, we thought like the Golden State Warriors were like revolutionizing how the 3-point shot is shot. The Boston Celtics might just completely revamp how we see the game of basketball, because like, they don't have anybody in the paint. It's everyone outside the 3-point line, and they just make their shots. They do not miss. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of scary how good they looked on Tuesday, because, you know, the Knicks are supposed to be like their biggest comp in the East, I'd say, in terms of like on paper, and they just went out there and dogged them. 30-point blowout, and they were smoke threes, all those things. And I feel like, you know, that already game one ring ceremony, just going out there guns blazing.
And here's
crazy.
The thing, you kind of said, like, not only the Knicks like their biggest competition, the Knicks' biggest strength is they are supposed to be a defensive juggernaut. They got the likes of like OG Anunoby, they got Josh Hart, they got Mikal Bridges, they got a bunch of defensive dogs. And the Celtics had like 110 by the end of the first half. Like, they just did not care that their biggest strength was defense. It was disgusting.
They were 1 3-pointer away from breaking the all-time record.
Correct.
In a game, right? On night one is insane.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about the Knicks, because me and Joey have talked about this off air, and it's just crazy to think about. You know, getting blown out on night one's not the best, but it's a long season.
Yeah.
This might be the most hyped up Knicks team since what, the 90s?
Yeah, absolutely. This team is just so much fun. They finally got like a face for the franchise in Jalen Brunson, and then they got all of his best friends besides Dante, who's been shipped off. Like, they got the power of friendship going for them. They've got a bunch of marketability around them. Tom Thibodeau is also a fantastic coach, and as you said, it's night one. Like, it's gonna happen. It's just Mikal. Don't switch the jump shot.
No.
The switch is not working.
No.
That thing is disgusting.
I think the NBA is in a good place when the Knicks are good at basketball.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest. You know, obviously, like, the big markets like LA and New York are always going to be crazy. But I feel like, man, like, this playoff showed me when the Knicks are good and fun, it's just, it's a better place. So I still have high hopes for them. Obviously, you know, like you said, it's the first game of the season. Teams are going to have rust and all that. Like, I've seen the Warriors, when they had KD, they got blown out in like their first game of the season sometimes too. So it doesn't tell the whole story. I still have high hopes for the Knicks.
Yeah, not just to bounce off Everton there. Like, any sports is better when the big market teams are performing. Like, look at the MLB with the Dodgers and the Yankees. Their viewership is going to be like off the charts. They're going to do numbers. Like, when these big teams perform, like the Knicks or like the Lakers, they start getting good. Viewership's going to come in. The Bulls won't contribute to that ever again, but like at least these big market teams can help out.
I think on night one, they probably, and the NBA is a league just full of storylines, no matter what. I mean, the season didn't even start yet, and Joel Embiid and the Sixers are already getting investigated for faking injuries, whatever it might be. But in terms of the teams that played on night one, I think we probably have the four best storylines in the league. You have the defending champs, the New York Knicks, who you guys all just really hit it on the head, probably their best team since and most hyped up team since the 90s. But then I would say the Timberwolves, just for the star factor of Anthony Edwards, and we could talk about the Lakers. The Lakers will forever be, you know, one of the top talked about teams in the league, but I think the biggest storyline was the fact that LeBron James and Bronny James saw the floor together and are the first ever father-son duo to play on the same floor in the NBA.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little disrespectful, not to these two, I'm going to be disrespectful to the fans. The people hating on this are just losers. I'm just going to be real.
Yeah.
Like, this is such an unreal moment. Like, they're playing on the court at the same time. This is, like, every, like, family's dream. Like, if I were to be watching that game with my dad and I looked over at him, he'd probably shake his head in disappointment because we didn't do that ourselves. Like, this is just such an incredible moment, and I'm happy for the both of them.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people throw – honestly, since Bronny got drafted, they've been kind of hating, and I feel like, you know – at the end of the day, if you were given the opportunity, you'd probably do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And I would have done the same thing. I'm happy to see it. It's really cool, you know. You know, God forbid Bronny plays like 2 minutes a game. You know, like it's not gonna harm anybody. I think it was just a really cool moment. And honestly, when I watching the game live, seeing the way Bron was moving as soon as that happened, they needed to play Bronny 48 minutes because Bron was doing some things I haven't seen him done since he was in Cleveland. So.
And that's what I kind of want to go off to. Would Bronny James probably be in the NBA right now if his dad wasn't in the league? Probably not. Maybe if he had two more years of college experience, I guarantee you he would be. It's just the fact that he foregoed his junior and senior year to come and play with his dad because, you know, who knows how much longer LeBron has left. Maybe this is his last year. I doubted he would have 100% announced a retirement tour, which he says he's not going to do. He's going
to
do it.
Even if he doesn't want to, Adam Silver will force him. You know how much money they're going to make off that? Let's be serious.
But I just think it was a cool moment all around. Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Sr. that were there too. Mm-hmm. So the Lakers getting off to a good start with the win. And who knows, maybe they can finally be a good team really since, what, the bubble?
Yeah, pretty much.
That doesn't count, though.
Oh, you just upset some people.
I'm playing.
I want to ask you guys this because you two are like the two NBA experts in this office.
Experts.
What teams, apart from the teams we've already talked about, what teams, and I guess I could say mine as well, but what teams excite you guys the most going into this year? Maybe that's not being talked about enough or, you know, just you feel like they have something in the water.
All right, I'm going to do a team in the East and a team in the West, to be fair to both sides.
100%.
I talked to Everton after our media law class. I love the Orlando Magic this year. Not only do they have like an awesome song, they have an incredible team to finally go with it. I think the add of KCP was so crucial for that franchise because you get another guard that can defend and get you a bucket when you need it, which is huge. And Paolo Banchero, man, he is just incredible at the game of basketball. He just can get to the rim at will. They developed him to become a passer as well. He's awesome. Franz Wagner is also there. And then they have a cool theme song. It's like not only are they good at basketball, but they have a good media team as well.
We got to get that song on our air.
Logan, can you hear us?
It's a great song.
And then out west, how can you not be excited about the Spurs? Like, yeah, they got maybe the coolest thing to ever grace basketball. Like, even you can argue cooler than like rookie LeBron. Like, they got a 7'6" guy that can shoot step back threes. Like, let's be for real.
Yeah.
And you pair this guy with an alley-oop threat with the best alley-oop passer ever with Chris Paul. There's just excitement there as well. And they got other weapons. They got Devin Vassell. They got Stephon Castle, who's going to be awesome. He's going to get the Shea treatment where Chris Paul was in Oklahoma City for a while Shea was a rookie. And then Chris Paul helped Shea become the guy he is today. And now they can do that again with Stephon Castle. They're going to be an exciting team as well. And there's a chance. This is going to be my first hot take. I don't really fire too many of these off on Red Zone. I think the Spurs are going to make it into the playoffs, and they'll be in the upper echelon of the play-in.
Okay, I'll say for me, since we'll do East-West type of thing, and I'll say this, right? I'll try to do a different team than you did. I'm not going to say they're going to be crazy exciting, but they're a team that's been kind of slept on. The Bucks. Now, I know.
Boo.
Yeah, I see. There you go. The Bucks, the only reason why I say that, one, I will never doubt a team that has Giannis on it. He's just that caliber of player. And then I have faith that Dame will bounce back this year. Maybe
he,
not.
He looked real good yesterday.
Right? Exactly. Not to full back to like Portland Dame, but like a Dame that can be decent enough. And then their offseason wasn't terrible, you know. Only thing holding me back from them is their coach.
Yeah.
But out west, I will say low key New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, take that back. DeJounte got hurt.
And then maybe like the Houston Rockets, another team, for example. They got 11 good players on that team. You don't really say that too frequently. They got Reed Shepard, who's so exciting, and Jalen Green and Alfred Sengun. They got them extensions as well. But Ben, we got to hear from you.
Yeah, I think what excites me the most is the team with the most draft picks. And they're being talked about. Like, we know they are. They're one of the best teams in the West. We know it. But the Oklahoma City Thunder are so much fun to watch. And absolutely, they got, like, one of my favorite players in the NBA, Alex Caruso, which don't even get me started with that trade. It was, like, it broke my heart because how did we not get a single one of their picks?
I don't want to talk about it. We got Josh Giddey.
Yeah. We can talk about the Bulls. I want to talk about the Bulls really quick. They got
all the viewership just left.
They got blown out last night in the hands of the New Orleans Pelicans. It's just a Jerry Reinsdorf effect, man. I will say though, Zach LaVine did look pretty solid.
He's boosting that trade value as we speak. But it's just the same problems for the Bulls every year. There's maybe like 1,800 turnovers, probably something that excessive. They just could not keep a hold of the ball, and there's just no defensive threat in the paint at all. The Pelicans were just driving at will for fun. Yves Massie was like a later first round pick, and he dropped like double digits in like just a couple of minutes. He was just scoring at will. It's kind of ridiculous. So it's just the same issues. This team was built terribly, and they're not giving their young guys burn still, just because I think Zach LaVine and Vooch are just going to turn this around.
Yeah, I will say, you mentioned my team earlier, so I got to say a little quick something about my OKC Thunder. I'm happy about how we look, and we play tonight, so obviously very excited. But back to the Bulls, you know, I just want them to go full rebuild. I think picking a direction like that is just the best decision they can do. You know, obviously Zach looked good last night, and I hope he can do that for the next couple of weeks, so then trade value shoots up and we can ship him off. And then Vooch is going to be impossible to trade. Yes. You know, who's going to really want to bring him in? But I think once Zach is off this team, young players can start playing more. Matas, I want to see him on the court just a bit more. Even if he's thinking it up sometimes, I just want to see him on the court more, just off of that. Mm. So just wanted to get to see more of the young players and Cooper Flagg.
I love Cooper Flagg for the Bulls. That'd be incredible. I don't think they're that bad, though, because Zach LaVine and Vucevic are going to be around for at least half the season.
Yeah, Vucevic is a liability.
There's teams
a lot
worse, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in the East specifically.
I do want to, before we go to break, I do want to talk about one other thing.
We got to talk about predictions.
And this, what did you say?
We got to talk about predictions.
We could do predictions, but I want to talk about this before we get into our finals predictions. The Intuit Dome is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
I mean, what did he call it? He called it the Basketball Coliseum, right?
Mm, yeah.
And he started a college fan section, which I didn't even know there were that many Clipper fans. I'm pretty sure I think Steve Ballmer's paying people to be Clippers fans. But if you haven't seen the Intuit Dome, just go look it up. It's hard to even describe what this sphere that Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, made. But I can't describe this. On the opposing team's baseline by their bench, they have this wall. Yeah. I forgot what I think they're literally just calling it the
wall. The wall, yeah, pretty much.
And it's the only people that can buy those seats is like Clippers season ticket holders or something like that.
Yes.
And it's just incredible. They were causing chaos last night. They ended up losing, but still, it was so cool to see that dome in full action. I saw there was a video of the t-shirt cannon with like James Harden on the board. He's like throwing the t-shirt out and shooting out the top of the board. It's an impressive fate of technology that Steve Ballmer's been able to build with that dome. So that's been my favorite thing that I've seen out of the NBA so far this year. But let's get into predictions. All right, finals predictions, matchups. And who's going to win it?
Celtics over Grizzlies in 6.
Wow. Thunder over Celtics in 7.
I'm going to go with the Celtics going back-to-back, and they'll beat the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like that's the common one. It's just, it can't always be chalk. Someone's going to have to slip up. But just after seeing the Celtics yesterday, how can they slip up?
I'm biased, by the way.
But the thing about the NBA, historically, it has been pretty chalk.
That's fair.
And at least in, well, besides like the last 2 years, it's been...
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because the Heat made it 2 years ago, and then I don't think many people are expecting the Mavericks to make it,
no.
I don't know. But we're we're excited for this brand new NBA season. It's definitely going to have a lot of storylines, and I mean, we're just super excited to follow it along. But when we come back, we're going to talk some NFL. We're going to do pick six here on the Red Zone. 103.3 WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Joey LeMaster, Everton Levy getting ready for yet another edition of Pick 6, the weekly NFL Pick'em show where myself, Joey, Julian, our guest, and our faculty advisor Steve Cease make weekly picks in the NFL. We have a locked and loaded week this week in the NFL. Let's take a look at our standings really quick, though. Julian still alone in first place, and he's gaining some ground. He is 28-14 this year, while Steve, 26-16. Joey and the guest are 24-18, and myself has dropped down all the way to Lonely Island in last place at 23-19. Was not a good week for me last week.
Our fall off needs to be studied, Ben, because we're making fun of the guys like, oh, you guys got to pick up some ground. You guys are like 5 games behind, and suddenly we're tied and behind. Yeah, I went 2-4 last week. Ben went 1-5. We really pooped the bed. It got real stinky in the red zone.
So let's take a look at our first game, which will happen tonight, where the Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings, who got their first loss of the season last week, will go to the Los Angeles Rams, where they are getting some ammunition back. Their wide receivers, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, both back. Stafford finally has his two favorite targets back. Joey, who are you going with?
Yeah, so I kind of feel like reality is going to start settling in, because like the Rams are a lot better than the record shows, and not that I'm saying the Vikings are like fraudulent, but I don't think the Vikings should have been the last NFC team to be undefeated. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with the Rams here. Stafford, when he gets his two guys, they're just an incredible team on that offensive side of the ball, and I think the Vikings are going to have a little bit of a rough stretch, but we'll eventually get back at it.
I think personally I'm going to go with the Vikings. You know, I get it. You know, they're getting their two best targets back, but I don't know. Vikings have looked really good. Obviously, Sam Darnold might be MVP, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, obviously, Jay Jett is out there. He's going to always get some numbers. And the defense isn't bad either for Vikings. So I think, like you said, I don't know if they're frauds, but they're definitely, there's definitely 5-1. And I feel like I got to respect that. So I'm going to go Vikings.
I'm looking at the schedule right now. There's a lot of toss-ups this week. But for this one, I mean, just getting Puka and Cooper Kupp back for Stafford makes all the difference. I mean, I don't even know who he was throwing to the last couple weeks. Kyren Williams is an animal. And, you know, you can't really discredit the Vikings either and what they've been able to do. But for some reason, just something in my heart is telling me Rams this week. I don't know what it is, but I think I'm going to lean the Rams. And I hope that this game is a shootout, because there's been some bad primetime games recently.
Yes.
So we really need a good one here. Let's go to the next one. Eagles at Bengals. The Bengals are obviously off to a rough start, but are known for their mid to late season turnarounds. While the Eagles are floating on water, they managed to beat the heck out of the Giants last week. And really, it's been a weird year for the Eagles as much as it's been a weird year for the Cincinnati Bengals as well. Joey, where are you going in this one?
Yeah, I just like to ride with momentum in football. I think it's such a crucial thing to do. The Bengals, they start off slow and they're off hot. And the Eagles, despite, you know, yeah, you scored a lot of points against the Giants, and congratulations. The Eagles are in a rough spot. Nick Sirianni is just only going to be there for so long. I think this is a bad matchup for them. And I'm on the Joe Bird train because Ja'Marr Chase has been doing me well in fantasy, so I'm going to be riding with the Bengals.
I think I'm also going to go with the Bengals. You know, I feel like their record definitely doesn't describe how good of a team they are. They've had some bad run-ins, and honestly, some of their issues has been the defense. But I'm going to go with Bengals because I don't really trust the Eagles, I'm not going to lie. And I don't know, like, you beat the Browns by 4, you beat the Giants by a lot, whoop-de-doo. I just, not big on that, so I'm going to go Bengals.
Yeah, I feel like this one's a coin flip. There has really been nothing besides, you know, Joe. I feel bad for the Bengals because they've had two games where it feels like they should have won. They should have won that Ravens game, they should have won that Chiefs game. But at the same time, the wins that they've had the last 2 weeks, it hasn't been anything that's, like, really impressed me too much. And I feel like the Eagles are a lot better than people are giving them credit for. I mean, Saquon, as much as we talk about Derrick Henry as just this insane running back that's one of the MVP favorites, Saquon is one of the only reasons that the Eagles are at this point that they're at. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, in this one, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I love the Bengals too. Like, they're probably my second favorite team in this league, but it's just, there's something about the Eagles. I feel like they're not as bad as people are talking about them.
You and Julian agreeing on that one?
Yeah, me and Julian agreeing on that one. Steve going with the Bengals, going with these two guys right here. All right. Bills and Seahawks. Seahawks, you know, after that really good start, everyone kind of turned their head and was like, hey, maybe they're a lot better than we thought. They've kind of fallen off a cliff. And the Bills, kind of the same scenario with them, got off to a really, really nice start and just haven't really been able to put some wins together. They got one on Monday night last week or 2 weeks ago against the Jets, but it's been a weird season for them as well. Joey, where are you going on this one?
Yeah, so I'm just looking at this Google spreadsheet, and I'm just looking at it like really confused because both Julian and Steve are going with the Seahawks, and that just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Because I think both these teams are kind of in the same scenarios as you said, Ben, where they're supposed to start off well and they kind of dipped off a little bit. So they're both in the same spot. So these guys go off star power. And am I picking Josh Allen or am I picking Geno Smith? Ladies and gentlemen, let's be for real. I'm picking Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah, I'm also going with the Bills. You know, obviously, Deke, I don't think DK's playing, right? Because he's injured.
He's going to be out a couple weeks.
And that's their best receiver. Mm. And like you just said, when it comes to teams like this who are so close together, it's going to come down to who's a star and who's not. Geno versus Josh Allen, like you just said, really much nothing to talk about there. Mm. And then obviously I think as they incorporate Amari Cooper more, Bills will be even more explosive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Another proud fantasy football owner moment for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to ride the Bills as well on this one. Just feels like the Seahawks, it was a weird start and it was two wins where they scored a lot of points. I think DK being out is a big loss. Kenneth Walker's been really good this year when he's been healthy, but just something about the Bills, you know, we were talking about Josh Allen not having that number one wide receiver target. It finally feels like he does. Mm-hmm. I know it's an older version of Amari Cooper, but still it does feel like, you know, they're in a much better position. And frankly, I just think the Bills are a much better team than the Seahawks are, so I'm going to go with Seattle on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday at 3:25, the matchup that everyone was circling all week, even into last week, but then one of the rookie quarterbacks decided to get hurt. No, it wasn't his fault. He has hurt ribs, still questionable to play, but Bears and Commanders, I mean, I really, as much as, you know, we're, as a Bears fan, it'd be great to not see Jaden play because, you know, that's their X factor. That's the reason why they've been winning so many games. But at the same time, I want to see this rookie duel so bad.
Yeah. And Marcus Mariota's not moving the needle for you, though.
He did look good the other day. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a locked win, but Jaden Daniels makes that much of a difference.
I'm trolling. Like, that'd be a really exciting matchup. There's a reason why I got flexed from noon to 3:25 because this was the must-see matchup. But if you are a new listener, this might surprise you, but if you constantly listen to Red Zone, you know who I'm going to pick. The Bears are going to win this game. I'm wearing the Bears sweater for a reason. I'm so confident in this team. This offense is playing out of this world. A lot of the secondary that we had injured is going to be making their return, so we're going to have a much healthier team. And that unhealthy team still dominated the Jaguars in England, so I'm riding with the Bears. They're going to get another dub.
Yeah, if the Commanders were healthy, I'd have more to say. But honestly, with Jaden being out, I don't know. In big 2024, I don't know how I feel about Marcus Mariota. So he didn't look bad, but I just, come on, guys. Yeah. So I'm going to roll with the Bears, you know, just off of that. Just off of Jaden Daniels being probably out of that game, Chicago Bears.
What do I do here? Every time I picked against them, they've won.
Yeah.
So I'm picking the Commanders. If you're new to the show, I pick against the Bears because it seems that every time I pick them, besides the Carolina Panthers, because that was my only caveat, I will pick whoever is facing the Bears so that the Bears continue to win.
So should we put an asterisk on your record then?
No, I said Mickey Mouse. Did I not say I will gladly take Red Zone losses if the Bears win? The Bears bring me happiness for a week if they win. Mm-hmm. I will gladly take a single Red Zone loss. But technically, you could put an asterisk. Might be we'll look at the end of the season. And if Julian ends up winning by 5 games and it's because I picked against the Bears all these weeks, then
we'll have
like,
conversations.
Hey,
Mickey
what are we
Mouse
doing here? But yeah, I'm gonna pick the Commanders. I'm hoping Jaden plays, but either way, even if Jaden plays, I still feel like they might win. They just look like that good of a team right now. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Monday night. A real barn burner here. just kidding. The Steelers looked really good on Sunday night. Yeah. The Steelers, I'm not going to discredit them. I thought they were going to go into the season and just not look great, but guess what? It's the Mike Tomlin coach Steelers. Yep. And Russell Wilson, how about that? Just makes his return. He was dealing with injuries, and they were like, hey, you know what? We're going to start this guy. Russell Wilson looked really good in that game. Meanwhile, the Giants thought they were sneaky, but they just got absolutely destroyed by the Eagles last week, and I have a feeling we're all going in the same direction in this one. Julian and Steve picked the Steelers. Joey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I want to break this down for a caveman just so I can understand. Steelers good, Giants bad. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, come on, let's be for real.
Yeah, it's kind of just that simple. The Giants aren't good. The Steelers are good. It's really that simple.
Honestly. I hope we're wrong. I really do.
I got Steelers as well. It's really down. Really
simple. Ben's got a smirk on his face.
No, I'm going with the Steelers. Come on now.
I was going to say, what's he cooking over there?
I'll give a more of an explanation. And I kind of already said it, but they looked really good last week. The defense is insane. They're special teams. They've blocked like 3 or 4 kicks already this year. It's absurd. Yeah. And they got like the old guy. I don't know what his name is, but apparently he's been with the Steelers forever. He's like an old dude and older gentleman in terms of NFL coaching age. And he's just getting so pumped every time on the sideline that they block a kick. And they've done it enough this year. So the only thing that I like about the Giants is Malik Nabers, because he's on my fantasy team. So Daniel Jones, throw him the ball. All right, here we go. Our pick six game of the week, as voted on by you guys, the fans, on our WZND Instagram poll, is really two of the most legendary teams in the history of the NFL. Sunday Night Football, Cowboys versus Niners. Let's tee this one up. The Niners are without just about everybody on that offense. George Kittle might not even play. Deebo Samuel is having stomach issues. Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL. Christian McCaffrey, who knows where he's at? Maybe he's still in Germany. but they got a guy that got shot 2 weeks ago a month ago as their number one wide receiver. Meanwhile, the Cowboys look like a shell of themselves. They're fighting on the sidelines. Nothing is going good in Cowboy land, but I think this could be a good game either way.
Yeah, it should be a good game, and I'm 0-3 on doing this in Red Zone, where I changed my pick on the spot, and I'm going to do it here. I originally had the 49ers. I'm going with the Cowboys. Yeah, the run game is just non-existent, but also the 49ers offense is currently non-existent because they have absolutely zero weapons, and I have my thoughts on Brock Purdy. I'm not going to push any agendas here when he doesn't have like his Pro Bowlers next to him. All I'm saying is we might find out something about him on Sunday.
I don't know.
The Cowboys.
I think Purdy's good, but when you have legit almost like none of your guys to throw to, it's just going to be hard. And the Niners have been this year. The Cowboys haven't been any better, but this is a weird game to predict. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of torn right now. I think all the injuries are just going to make it hard for the Niners to win this game. Even though the Cowboys have looked really bad, I'm going to go Cowboys. It's just hard to go against all these injuries.
I'm going to tell you on that one. This is a huge game for both these teams because they're both, no matter what, whoever wins, they're both going to still be under 500. Mm-hmm. So it's like the Cowboys need to win desperately, and the Niners, if they end up losing this one, it's not looking too great for them either, considering all the injuries as well. That was another edition of Pick 6. Once again, Joey Everton. Everton, thank you so much for joining the show this week.
Thank you for having me, man.
Once again, thank you to Coach Peden for sitting down with Joey LeMaster, as well as Malachi Poindexter for joining us live in the show. We are back every Thursday at 6 p.m. You just listened to another edition of The Red Zone.